This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Great to have you along with us today. We're going to get a few snapshots of the state of education in southeastern Wisconsin in the first half of today's show, both from the front lines and from an analytical perspective. We start with the organization that's taken a macro look at public education performance around the region for the past 27 years. The Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum has just issued its annual breakdown of performance and funding concerns in public school districts in this corner of the state. Rob Henkin is the president of the forum, and he's with us now to give us a snapshot of the snapshot, if you will. Welcome back, Rob.
Thank you for having me back, Mitch.
The forum has been looking at public school performance for nearly three decades, but let's talk specifically last year to this year. What do you see as the headline representing the current trend in the past 12 months?
Well, Mitch, it's a more difficult question to answer than in previous years because the standards are changing. So proficiency, the definition of proficiency has changed. But overall, we're not seeing much movement, if any, in terms of reading and math score improvement. We are continuing to see the Southeast Wisconsin region outperform the rest of the state in certain college readiness indicators like AP test scores and ACT test scores. But on the whole, it's sort of a status quo message.
Well, and does that go along with a longer-term trend?
I think it does. And again, we have to be very careful. What the Public Policy Forum does every year is tries to provide a look at educational achievement and finance through a regional lens. So when you're looking at the Southeast Wisconsin region, you have to take into account the fact that Milwaukee Public Schools is such a predominant part of that region that as MPS goes, so goes the region in terms of combining the test scores and so on. So really, we're still focusing a lot on MPS and the extent to which it is showing improvement. And I think we're seeing certain areas where test scores are beginning to creep up. We're seeing, in terms of some cohort analysis that we've done, some areas of improvement. But overall, again, not a lot of change. Still the same stubborn issues. And really, I think one of the foremost issues that we have identified year after year is the racial achievement gap. And there we're seeing very little progress as well.
You're now looking at achievement gaps both racially and in economic terms. What are you finding in both of those areas?
Well, let's start with the economic side of the ledger. Another disconcerting finding is the fact that poverty levels continue to grow. So we all were aware of the fact that in the wake of the Great Recession that there would be a greater proportion of students eligible for free and reduced price lunch. That number continues to go up even though the economy has largely stabilized. Obviously, we're not seeing a robust recovery by any means. So the percentage of kids in poverty as defined by free and reduced price lunch, 47% of the students in Southeast Wisconsin. So what we did this year was took a look at academic achievement, not only on the basis of exploring different races, but exploring through the lens of economic disadvantage and found the same troublesome trends. That's not that surprising, given that unfortunately racial characteristics tend to move in tandem with economic disadvantage characteristics. But what we are seeing is sizable gaps, not only in Milwaukee Public Schools and Racine and some of the bigger urban areas, but really in the suburban districts, you're not seeing noticeable improvement in many districts in terms of the gap between the achievement of white students and non-economically disadvantaged students versus African-American students and students who are economically disadvantaged.
Overall, what did you find in terms of achievement across racial demographic lines?
In particular, looking at African-American versus white students, we are seeing sizable gaps. So in reading and math test scores, we're seeing gaps in the 30 or 40 percentage point range in terms of how students are performing, white students versus African-American. We also take a look at graduation rates. The gaps are smaller there, but still very present across the board. And again, what is telling here is that when you look at some of the suburban districts where there is higher achievement overall, you are still seeing some of these very stubborn achievement gaps.
You did mention early on in this interview that there is a positive trend, particularly in southeastern Wisconsin, related to college readiness. What are you finding with that?
Well, our region tends to do very well in terms of ACT scores. And so what is, I think, noticeable there is while there was little movement in the last year for which schools were available for this report, the region is still outperforming the state by several percentage points. And that's happening even though we are also outperforming the state and nationally in terms of the number of test takers. There has been a concerted effort at MPS and in other school districts to make sure that more students are taking the ACT. That type of strategy, while certainly good from an academic achievement perspective, can bring test scores down, but we're not seeing that. So that's, I think, a positive point. AP passage rates, advanced placement scores of 3 or above, continue to increase in the region. And also, the regional four-year graduation rate has now shown 3 consecutive years of growth.
What about attendance and enrollment?
We are still seeing a decline in enrollment in the region. And in fact, our region in a 0.8 percentage point decline in enrollment, whereas the state as a whole is starting to rebound, a small increase in enrollment statewide. So that's an issue. The rate of decline in enrollment seems to have slowed down a little bit. But in terms of the connection between enrollment and school aides and the state funding formula, that is certainly an issue that has school district administrators throughout the region concerned.
Well, and speaking about funding, what about school finances? That's another component to this analysis is where schools are getting their funding from.
So this year's report, Mitch, was the first our first look at actual school spending and revenue data for the first year post the big changes that occurred in the state budget 2 years ago with Act 10 and the substantial cuts in school aids. And what we found, not surprising, greater reliance on the property tax almost across the board in school districts throughout the region as state aids have diminished. That being said, however, property tax dollars have not necessarily increased. So we are seeing the pie shrink, and so the proportion of property tax as a percentage of the overall school funding pie increasing, but that doesn't mean that more property taxes were levied because, of course, there were these strict caps on the levy that were also part of the same state budget.
You mentioned that the measures of performance have evolved since the public policy forum started doing this, and certainly they've evolved quite a bit in just the last few years.
Yes, we're really seeing a sea change in that regard. One of the big issues that has stemmed the change is the fact that the state has now received a waiver from the federal No Child Left Behind law, which allows the state now to have more latitude in terms of developing its own accountability standards. We have seen an issue with the adoption of the Common Core standards that's being debated in Madison. But what this really means is that there are going to be new tests in place. There are new standards of proficiency. It makes it a little more difficult to do trend analysis. But at the same time, I think one of the important changes that we are seeing is that test taking is designed not only to give us a glimpse of where students are at a particular point in time, but also designed to show us how they are progressing during the school year. So there are much richer data sources that are really able to now give us a broader picture of academic achievement. The fact that gaps and closing the gap is now a very important accountability standard hopefully will refocus school districts across the state on that very critical issue. But it does, from the perspective of the public policy forum, it makes it more difficult to produce this report because there is just so much data out there now. And as we are changing our definitions of success, we need to change our trend analysis.
Rob Henkin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Henkin is president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. There is a link to the organization's new analysis of public school funding and performance from WUWM.com/lakeeffect. Milwaukee's online neighborhood news service examined one particular aspect of school performance. We'll hear about their look at charter schools when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.